It's the Evening Show Live.
Tonight's special guest, humanitarian and the granddaughter of Billy Graham, Sissy Graham Lynch.
And now, our host, Michael Gorey.
Well, good evening, my very special guest tonight, joining me from her home in Fort Myers, Florida, Sissy Graham Lynch. Sissy, thanks for being on the program.
Oh, thanks for having me tonight.
Well, I want to jump right in. There's a lot of ground to cover. And first, let me just ask, how are you and your family doing in the midst of this pandemic?
You know, I think this has been a difficult time for most, and we've had our good days and our bad days. But to be honest, for me, it's been a really sweet time with my children. It was an unexpected time with my kids. And like I said, we've had our good days and bad days like every family. But for the most part, I've been truly thankful for a sweet time with my kids.
That's awesome. Well, I want to talk about your speech that you gave on the national stage, primetime at the Republican National Convention. Because in that address, you spoke about living out our faith in the public square. And certainly you and your father, Franklin Graham, and your grandfather, Billy Graham, your family have been clear, sturdy voices speaking truth to the culture for decades. You spoke about religious freedom being under attack in America. What do born-again, Bible-believing Christians need to know about the stakes of this election year?
Yeah, so, you know, of course, I was asked to speak about religious freedom, and that's an issue that is very close to my heart. And we as Americans, and especially Christians and Americans, we haven't seen physical persecution. I don't doubt that that could happen in our future and in our near future, but we are starting to see persecution kind of on the legal terms. And we've seen people that have lost their businesses because of their faith, those deeply held beliefs and faiths. We've seen current or previous administrations kind of force an ideology and force organizations and faith-based organizations to do things that they don't believe and they actually believe against. And many people aren't aware of what's happening in our court systems and like cases that go to the Supreme Court, but it's happening more and more. And it's like waves crashing on a beach that we can't keep up with what's happening. So my encouragement is for Christians, we have to have a voice. It's now or it's never. And no, I don't put my faith in a political party. My faith and hope is not in the Democratic Party. It's not all in the Republican Party. But I will put my my voice towards those who will protect the religious freedom in the time period that we are in.
That's well said. And I think about your family's commitment, your grandfather, Billy Graham. He was a pastor to presidents, regardless of party. And your father has been that advocate as well. The prayer march, September the 26th. Would you talk about that for a moment and what you hope to achieve from that event?
Yeah, we can. This has been a difficult year for everybody, from a pandemic to just being a volatile election year that we're facing, and our country's in trouble. And we see what's happening in the streets and the division that's happening in this country, and only God can fix that. So God has laid it on my heart, my dad, on the heart of my dad, Franklin Graham, to have a prayer march in Washington, D.C., September 26th. And you can find out more information on billygraham.org. But what it is this is just a prayer march. It's not going to be music. My dad won't be speaking from a platform, but it is a prayer march. It will start at the Lincoln Memorial, go all the way to the Capitol building with certain stops and prayer focus at each stop, because the scriptures are so clear. The heart of God can be moved by the prayers of the people in the land. Yeah. And we as a country, we've turned our back on God. Even in the recent years, prayer has been mocked in this country. And this is a time for us to turn back to God, to repent of the sins of this country, and to know that only God can heal it.
Amen. And so that's on September the 26th. Anybody can attend that. And and you said it's the billygraham.org if they want to learn more information about
it. It'll lead you to another landing page about the prayer march to register, to pray. But, you know, I want to encourage people because I've had some people like, should I go? Should I not? And we look at where we will sacrifice our time and the things that we'll go out of our way for. And we look at what's happening in the news on the streets over the summer and the division that's happened in this country. Can you imagine if God's people came just with the focus to pray, what we could do in this nation with our prayers?
That's absolutely right. And, you know, from a church standpoint, from a pastoral standpoint, Christians, you know, many are still not coming to church, but they'll go out and do a million other things. And so it's all about prioritizing our faith, our voice, to speak truth to the culture.
And that conviction of mine, I've been inspired by those over the years and their support to the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association or even Samaritan's Purse, because often I have to go because it's work or it's my dad or it's been my granddad. And sometimes the weather, it's pouring rain. Or I remember being in Iowa in 2016 at my dad's event, and there was like 2 feet of snow on the ground. And I realized there was a man in front of me who had driven 2 hours to come. Wow. And that conviction of mine was, would I come if it wasn't, you know, if it wasn't my job or if it wasn't my dad? And so those people inspire me that, yes, we have to make an effort. We have to set aside the things that we would normally make time for and make time definitely a priority to pray in this country.
Yeah, that's so important. So you are a senior advisor and a spokesperson for Samaritan's Purse, the humanitarian arm of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. 17 different initiatives, is that right? Does that sound right?
Well, I work at Samaritan's Purse and the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, and my heart and desire is it's kind of different stages in my life. I'm a mom with young children. My heart recently in the last few years is, of course, working with women around the world. But I've grown up under the umbrella of both ministries, and in different seasons, God lays it on my heart in different opportunities to help and advise in different areas of the ministry.
Out of the different initiatives you're speaking about, you just said a moment ago about issues for women, the children, the weak, the hurting. Is there a specific ministry within Samaritan's Purse or the Billy Graham Association that you want to highlight?
So yeah, like Samaritan's Purse, our maternal child health programs, to me are just very close to my heart, because as a mom, there's many moms out there that giving birth to a child could be a death sentence depending on what country they live in. It's very fearful to give birth just because of the circumstances that they face. We hear, I can go to a Target or a Walmart or a drugstore and go down an aisle and find all kinds of prenatal care and care for my children. And I have a plethora of doctors at my fingertips and hospitals. Many moms are not even in a day's walk of a hospital. So that has been my heart's desire over the last couple of years, to help moms around the world in that area. But to be honest, there's so many parts of Samaritan's Purse. I also, my husband and I work up in Alaska with Operation Heal Our Patriots. That's a program for our wounded veterans to serve the marriages and the military marriages of those wounded veterans to help give them spiritual counseling. But we could be here all day if I talked about all the parts of Samaritan's Purse and the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association that I love.
Sure. And your following on social media and things, your work there in Alaska, that's a several month commitment. Is that right?
Yeah. So it goes on. Well, this year, of course, you know, in every project of both ministries, we've had to be flexible due to COVID and the pandemic that we have faced. But you look at this surprise, this year was a surprise to so many, but it wasn't a surprise to God.
Yes.
And I think that's important for people to remember. So we've had to be flexible and we've had to be creative and innovative and work really hard to make these projects work, especially one like Operation Heal Our Patriot, where we are bringing in couples from all over the country. But God's provision was so wonderful, and how many couples came to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And just this morning, I was looking over some stories, and last night I was in some meetings and looking at stories that are coming in through both ministries. And like I said, this year wasn't a surprise to God, and His work is still being accomplished through both ministries. And I look at our prayer line. We have a prayer line at the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association that we created after when the pandemic started, because so many people were anxious and fearful. And it was a 24-hour prayer line. And it's still going on. So I encourage you, those who are listening, who might just need somebody to listen to or to pray to, our team is there. But over 5,000 people have given new commitments to Jesus Wow. Christ just on that prayer line. And so God's work is still being done. And God has been just been faithful with the work of both ministries, that we've been able to continue to do what we do, even with the challenges that we have faced in the pandemic.
That is so encouraging to hear from a standpoint of, you know, we hear a lot of bad news, but that's good news. And that's the gospel at work. You spoke to me before we started here about the U.S. disaster relief that the Samaritan's Purse organization is involved in, 8 different locations. What kind of work is that? And then if you would speak just a moment about how people can give to the relief effort, 8 different locations right now going on in the U.S. where you guys are deployed.
So yeah, for our projects with U.S. disaster relief, we have 8 tractor trailer units. And this is basically like a Lowe's or a Home Depot on wheels. And we have a team that goes in with these tractor trailers with the skid steers and the bulldozers. And that's basically like a command center with all the chainsaws and everything you can imagine. So depending on what disaster we're facing, it's like you said, all of our units are out right now on deployment. We have 2 on the West Coast, 1 in Oregon and 1 in California due to the wildfires. We have some in Iowa after the storms there, and then the rest are in the Louisiana area after the hurricane. And of course, we have Hurricane Sally, who's hovering over right now. And it's always amazing that, you know, the volunteers that come out to serve those in need and in life's ditches. But I encourage those who are watching to be praying. And we need volunteers. You can check out our website, SamaritansPurse.org, for volunteers or in other ways you can partner and give. But and we're also partner. This is a special part, is we go in and we help gut out. If it's been flooding, you know, we'll gut out people's homes and get mud them out and everything. Or if there's been trees falling off and roof damage, we'll get the trees and remove them out of people's yards and off the roof and help tarp it just to help them keep dry. I mean, these are just devastating things that you've seen, everything from people's lives just gone, depending on what kind of storm it is. And when you go and you help somebody in the time of their greatest need and the ditches of life, just like the Good Samaritan, you have the opportunity to share the love of Christ and why you're there to serve them. So our chaplains from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association partner with us, and they go and they're there to hug on these people, to love on them and share the love of Christ. And once again, I was reading stories last night of people giving their life to Christ. And after every job is done, after every home is completed, they're presented a Bible that's signed by the whole team.
Wow.
And they're prayed over. So, but once again, I'm thankful for our volunteers who make it possible, who've been out there serving on all these deployments. Very grateful.
What I'm hearing here, and I get excited listening to you share, is you not only are meeting the physical needs, but you're meeting the spiritual needs. And that really is what the church is all about. And what a great example the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association and Samaritan's Purse has been to the church. Your international crisis response, is that similar, but just on more of an international scale?
Yeah, so depending, you know, what countries we're in, of course, this year's been a little bit different, and we've had to reevaluate our projects because of COVID, and, you know, the whole world shut down and these borders shut down, and how do we encourage our teams that are still there in those countries? And so we've had to refocus. Many of our projects, though, and teams in different countries are up, starting to open back up and run on a normal basis. But Yep, we're serving the church and people all around the world. During the COVID time, one of our field hospitals, many people saw it was in New York City in Central Park. We sent one to Italy. So that was different for us. Those hospitals have been all over the world, but to serve in, you know, two like first world countries where we were asked to come, God opened up new doors for us to serve, even here and at home in New York City.
Wow. One of the pillar events that that people know to be synonymous with Samaritan's Purse is Operation Christmas Child.
It's coming up.
It's coming up. It's right around the corner. When's the deadline for that?
Oh, well, November. Oh, I'd have to actually look at the date. And you know, I didn't do my homework. It's normally the second week in November will be our collection week, our national collection week. And of course, this year, once again, with COVID, my dad's heart is, you know, more than ever, children around the world need the hope of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And the enemy will do everything once again to shut us down. So our teams have been working really hard about our drop-off centers and how to collect them, you know, with all these contingencies that we might face and being COVID friendly and touchless drop-offs. But I think it's a great year. More than ever, we need to be with our neighbors and our loved ones and our families. And this time, this year, we can look at all the bad things.
Yeah.
But to take our focus off the bad things, I think sometimes service can be healing when we're serving others. And what a great time of year to get together with your friends and have packing parties for Operation Christmas Child and to get together and to pack shoe boxes so these children can hear about the love of Jesus Christ. Because every box that goes out is like a fingerprint. Not one of them is the same. And every child that's receiving it comes from a different story, different background. And it's unbelievable when you see the miracles in every single box that God took it all the way from, you know, Arizona or Arkansas or North Carolina from a child that packed it and took it halfway around the world to a child God already knew.
Yeah.
And that these kids have the opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and then to have a follow-up program that they can go to a discipleship program after that.
That's incredible.
But it is hard to believe where Christmas is right around the corner, which I know many of us are waiting and anticipating.
Well, for me, Christmas, I've been listening to Christmas music since like June, so I'm ready. If my wife would let me, the Christmas tree would already be up in our living room.
Mine will go up a little earlier this year for sure.
Now, your husband is a professional athlete, is that right?
Well, used to be. No longer, yeah. He played college football at Appalachian State University, and then he played in the NFL for about 6.5 years. But that is that seems like a different lifetime ago.
Yeah, but he's involved with the work that you're doing there with the Samaritan's Purse. Our youngest son is 9 years old. His name is Graham, and we named him after your grandfather.
Oh, wow.
And Don Wilton, your grandfather's pastor for many years, told your grandfather that we had named him, and wow. He said he just couldn't believe that somebody would do that. The humility of your grandfather, the humility of your whole family, is something that we all ought to ascribe to be. Do you have a favorite memory from your childhood growing up with Billy Graham as your grandfather that you'd like to share with us?
You know, I get asked that a lot, and I think it was not so much a specific memory. But a lot of many years growing up, it would be my family, many times with my Aunt Ann's family, especially kind of in the early years. We always spent Thanksgiving with my grandparents. My mom and my Aunt Ann would do the cooking. And to me, those were just like special memories. I think it was those memories of normalcy where we were just a family behind closed doors and not in the public eye. Those that I miss. I miss sitting on the front porch with my grandfather. He loved his iced tea and he loved my Aunt Ann's apple pie. So I miss those kind of those quiet moments of normalcy. Of course, the world misses him and the presence that he had on that world stage. I miss that family time. Thanksgiving, one of my favorite traditions we would do is we would go around the table and everybody had to say what they were thankful for, what God had done in their life. And depending on the year, it could have been a very painful year, very emotional. And of course, being a family of grams, each one would be a long speech. It wasn't very quick. If you were a guest that year, we often had guests around the table. It might have been a little intimidating to speak in front of a bunch of grams, but those are the sweet moments I miss. It's nothing specific. I miss that family time.
Yeah. Is there one thing that you might think of that your grandfather or grandmother would instilled in you that you take with you to this day that would be an encouragement to someone?
Well, as far as my grandmother, and I'm raising two little ones now, of course, she didn't know them, and I wasn't even married when she passed away, but I read her writings a lot. And as a mom, I have to remember that I've learned from my grandmother is that as moms, we have to take care of the possible. That's raising our children and pointing them to God's word and teaching them God's word. But as far as it comes to like salvation and our children's walk with God, that's in the miracle business. And as moms, we're not in the miracle business. So we have to take care of the possible and leave God to the impossible and trusting God with that. And as far as my grandfather, there's a lot, but one that I've been clinging to lately, especially as a millennial, I'm kind of a here and now, I don't think much in the future, but is having that heavenly mindset that where we're to keep our focus and to draw our focus on is to heaven. He spoke on heaven. He talked about heaven. People know a lot of his quotes, especially since he's passed away. But that's because he knew that that was our focus. And I think we lose. A lot of churches don't even teach on heaven anymore. And that's where I really have been kind of drawing my focus lately.
A heavenly perspective rather than an earthly perspective. That's wonderful. As we wrap up, Sissy, you've had the opportunity, the unique opportunity to spend considerable time with President Trump and Vice President Pence. How can we as a Christian community, how can we be praying for them during this time, especially gearing up and leading up to November?
Yeah, you know, the two things that they say you're not supposed to talk about with mixed company are politics and religion. Those happen to be two things that I love a lot.
Talking about.
But I look at this nation, and it doesn't matter who the leader is. We have to recognize that in scriptures and according to Daniel, all those in leadership with kings and presidents, they are placed there by God's authority. And we are commanded to pray for each of them. We're commanded to pray for those in authority over us. And I look at all presidents who have held that position and the weight that they carry on their shoulders. And I think especially in the times that we are in now, we can't imagine what our president and what our vice president face on a daily basis, what they wake up and face. So I would just encourage people, especially this year, that President Trump would seek God's wisdom, that it would be God's wisdom that leads him and guides him each and every day, that his ears and hearts would be open up to God's people and God's word, and that God's wisdom, even if he doesn't realize it's God's wisdom, that's how we need to be praying for all of our leaders. And that this would be a nation that would humble themselves. And I am thankful for our president who recognizes that we're under God's authority and that God is our creator. And I am thankful for that.
And he's someone who is standing with the church and for the church and for religious freedom. Those inalienable rights that we have promised to us through the Constitution, and yeah, it seems like we're under attack.
Yeah, you look throughout the Bible, and we all know, we can pick out quickly in the Bible that God uses the most unlikely of people for his purpose. Even in the, you look in Book of Daniel, Daniel was taken into captivity, but because of his faithfulness to God, that King's ears and hearts were opened up to Daniel. And so I'm just thankful for that. You know, God can use the most unlikely of people to elevate his people.
Amen. Amen. Wonderful. Sissy, where can folks go to keep in touch with you to find out the different things that you're involved with? Is there a website?
Yeah, you can. Well, you can follow me Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, Sissy Graham Lynch. And then I do have a website, sissygrahamlynch.com. But I'm always encouraging people to check out our website, SamaritansPurse.org, TheBillyGraham.org. There are ways for so many people to be involved. That prayer line I mentioned earlier, we need volunteers. They can work the prayer line. And in Samaritan's Purse, we are always looking for volunteers in from everything from Operation Christmas Child to the OHOP, the serving our veterans, like I said, and to these disaster relief. So there are so many places to be involved, and I encourage you to check it out.
Wonderful. Sissy Graham Lynch, thank you for being with us today. Folks, join me next Wednesday night for another exciting episode with my very special guest, Carlos Whitaker. God bless you, and we'll see you then.
Thank you.
Special thanks to Sissy Graham Lynch, the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, and Samaritan's Purse. Evening Show Live is a media ministry of Bethel Baptist Church in Bentonville, Arkansas. To learn more about Bethel, visit our website, BethelBentonville.com. To watch past episodes of Evening Show Live, visit EveningShowLive.com.